Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
The Fan is on your smart speaker. To listen to the home of New York sports, just say, "Hey Google, play WFAN."
All right, 11:02 on the Fan. Tiki and Tierney here, 877-337-6666. Quick question for you, Tiki. I know we can revisit this later, as we will. Mm-hmm. So, let's say it's Daboll as the head coach, and it looks like it's going to be that way. I'm sure Flores is still in the mix.
Yeah, I don't know if they've done the in-person interview with Flores yet. Have they?
I believe that Daboll is the only one to have done two.
Yeah, he's done two, but so the first one was always over the phone or virtually.
Yeah.
Zoom, as we use these days. And Daboll's had the second one, which means he's been in person. I don't think Flores has had the second one yet.
I believe that you're right.
So we'll see. And then we know that John Mara has at least a little bit of an affinity for him because he reached out to him before last week,
they hired. Had the report.
Yeah.
Carton had,
yeah,
Craig had that.
That's right.
He nailed it.
Right before they hired Joe Shane. Mm-hmm. So you know that they're going to interview Flores, but you're right. It feels like they are hot to trot right now on Brian Daboll.
But my question is this. So if it's Daboll and then Ken Dorsey would come with him, presumably as the OC.
Hopefully, you mean.
Here's why I'm hoping. Uh-huh. Number one, I'm hoping for the Giants because I think that would be a fantastic trio. You'd bring three smart people, three winners from a winning organization. But selfishly, you know why I really hope it's Daboll and Ken Dorsey?
Why?
Because, I don't know, maybe it has a negative impact on Josh Allen.
Well, see, that's the other thing. That's the other thing I thought about.
Leave him high and dry.
So
he regresses.
You know how this works in BT in the NFL. Like, they can't block you. A team can't block you from taking a vertical promotion. But they can block you from taking a horizontal promotion. Mm-hmm. So if the Giants said, "Hey, Ken Dorsey, we want to hire you as the offensive pass coordinator."
Can't do it.
And the quarterback coach, they can't do it. But if they say, "We want to offer you the offensive coordinator job," that's a vertical promotion for Ken Dorsey that he can lead. The question would be, if you're Ken Dorsey and you've ridden this train, so to speak, with Josh Allen for the last 3 years or so, and maybe actually four years, and he's great, and your OC is leaving, and you can either be the OC of the Giants or take the OC job under Sean McDermott with the Buffalo Bills,
mm-hmm.
Don't you think he might stay?
Yeah, I think that's possible. I think it depends on his real relationship with Daboll.
Yeah.
The conviction that he has in Daniel Jones. I mean, if he looks at Daniel Jones's film, I mean, we could sit here all day and say he's injury prone.
Yeah.
You know, he's not what they thought he would be when they took him sixth overall. They got to do this. Yeah, those are all true statements. But if Ken Dorsey, in his heart, in his football heart, and his mind's eye says, "Man, I can mold that young man," it's a different conversation.
And then you have
Trubisky,
and then you
by
have,
the way.
And then you have two on your resume, not just Josh Allen, who may have been fated to go where he went anyway.
Possibly.
Right? Now, if you've done it with Josh Allen, and you come to the Giants, and you make Daniel Jones a Pro Bowl-level quarterback,
mm-hmm.
Ken Dorsey's getting a head coaching job at some point.
You would think so, and you always tell me about the coaching. You've been having this conversation, very one-sided, because I just nod my head and say, "Yeah, you're right," because I finally figured out that you are right, because we were all so enamored. Who's the head coach? Win the press conference. But Tiki's been telling me for a decade,
it's always the staff.
You got to have the staff, so I want to flip it back to you. If Daboll's gone and Ken Dorsey comes with him, big ifs, or somewhat big ifs, is there a chance that Josh, how would that impact Josh Allen?
I mean, he would lose, his core, the core that built him. And the question is, is he at that point where, he can understand the offense enough that whoever they bring in next, and I'm sure it's probably someone who's already on the staff, whether it's a wide receiver, who knows? I don't even know the staff well enough to comment on it. But it's someone that's already there that Josh Allen can help lift them to where they were, right, last year. So think about Tom Brady. Tom Brady leaves the New England Patriots. He goes to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Yeah, it's a new staff. It's Byron Leftwich and Bruce Arians. But Tom Brady has such a knowledge of the game and understanding of what he's good at that he's actually a contributor to the game plan.
For sure.
Right?
Yeah.
Same thing with Aaron Rodgers or Brett Favre back in the day when he left Minnesota or left Green Bay and went to Minnesota.
That came to us first.
Came to the Jets and then
he was actually doing really well. I remember that 4th and 12 he completed against the Pats.
That's right.
I think it was to Dustin Keller, a night game, and then he hurt his shoulder. But Brett played well for the Jets before he got hurt.
So at what point in your career are you at that level?
The latitude to weigh in on the playbook, you mean?
You can help with the playbook.
I think Josh Allen's there.
Like the Peyton Manning leaving Indianapolis and going to Denver.
Mm-hmm.
Right? All of a sudden, Denver's doing a lot of what the Indianapolis Colts are doing. You know what I mean? It's not because they got the coordinator. I think it was Pep Hamilton.
Well, do you think Josh is there?
I don't know, man. I feel like yes, but he's still really young. You know what I mean? He's only 26 years old.
And he was very raw. So
very,
the chance
very
for
raw.
And I know, remember you telling me the other day that Dorsey is very meticulous, almost maniacally so, with footwork, detail-oriented. And he's the kind of player, his skill set might be more impressive than Mahomes because he's a better runner and he's bigger.
No, you're right.
But if Dorsey's gone and there's a little sloppiness with the footwork, I don't know. I mean, I can only hope that happens.
My gut is your instinct is right. My gut is that your instinct is right. There might be a tad regression.
Okay.
Because of the details get missed a little bit. But
all right.
We'll see.
We shall see. We can go a little bit more. You know, I guess we have a few things out there now. The Knicks, there's still residue from that. Little Giants head coach search. Next segment, got Wayne Krabet on the Jets. And right now, of course, we have you on the Fan. Tiki and Tierney here, 877-337-6666. Let's get Matt, who's up in New City. I believe that's maybe exit 11 off the Palisades. Matt, you're on Tiki and Tierney. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good. That Knick game last night, unfortunately, I had the same hairdo as you and Tiki, but if I did have hair, I would have ripped it all out of my head.
I feel you.
I think, obviously, we could, you guys have beat it to death, the bad plays off a timeout and everything. Yep. But if you really look at the team, don't you think it was irresponsible of the front office to basically invest all this money in Randall, all this money in Fournier, Noel, Burks, we could go on, and basically gave the keys to the car to trust that Kemba Walker, a guy that two teams basically just totally gave up on,
right.
Basically run the car.
Yeah, I mean, and the problem with Kemba is that when he was healthy in
Charlotte,
he was exciting as hell.
Yeah,
and
always was. Going back to
the challenge is you can't even play him in back to backs right now.
That's ridiculous.
And he's a guard. You're the guy you're counting on. You can't play him back to backs. You have no chance. And it is a knock on him because he's just gotten unhealthy. But I feel you, Matt. You're dead right on that. It's frustrating from a Knicks standpoint because I'm not saying they're great. They're going anywhere, but. Like, when you don't have a full complement on the court every single night, it's like, what are you watching? And you end up losing games like they lost last night because Kemba wasn't on the court at the end, the final two plays. He wasn't on the court. And I don't think Evan Fournier was as well either, was out on the court those last plays. And you're thinking, you got to shoot. R.J. Barrett's going to shoot a three-pointer. Shouldn't you have some shooters out there?
That'd be nice.
It didn't make much sense. Obi Toppin wasn't on the court at that time. Like, what's the point?
He's not, even though he had a good night, he's not a shooter.
Okay, but a guy's hot, let him be hot.
Well, that's my biggest gripe with Thibs. He does not ride the hot hand.
Yeah.
His substitution patterns are baffling to mystifying. You know, by the way, the Nick, that this is... This small potatoes, big picture, but the Knicks are still paying Joakim Noah remember the stretch provision?
Really?
Yeah. They stretched. I think he's making like $6 or $7 million this year.
Wow.
They just made some strange offseason moves. I do think that this summer is, and I always thought that this was the big summer.
Yeah.
But until the big summer or the big trade deadline actually happens, we're left to question a very... Very hastily, sloppily put together roster that's not meshing right now. Let's get Joe, who's up in Westchester. Joe is on the Fan, Tiki and Tierney. Joe.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey,
What's up, Joe?
First-time caller. So the thing about the Knicks, what I don't understand,
You know, that last play with Randall and then giving the ball to Barrett.
Yep.
During the timeout, you see Tibbs there with his whiteboard, right?
Yep.
And he's drawing up this great play. He's drawing a line here, drawing a line there. And then they inbound the ball. It goes to Randall. He pounds the ball on the ground, like Tiki said.
Yep.
It goes off the Barrett.
Yeah. So what you're saying is maybe he actually did draw up something. It's just Randall didn't know how to execute.
Yeah. Or maybe he drew up.
Watch him during the timeout. With the whiteboard, he's drawing hair, he's drawing there. What is he doing?
Joe, maybe he's just putting on a show for the cameras, making it look like he's putting something on the whiteboard.
But Joe, you bring up a good point because I don't this you see Julius Randle bring the ball up the court, what, 50% of the time? Maybe even more than that. They treat him like he's the point guard.
Because they don't have one.
But he's gonna exit. But even when Kemba's on the court, Julius Randle is bringing the ball up the court. And it's just so slow. I feel like I'm watching my Cavaliers, my University of Virginia Cavaliers, who are the slowest in pace in the country. And they had a good win last night, by the way.
Yeah, wahoo, wah. Nice win.
Over Louisville. So, like, watching it, it's just, like, maddening. I'm like, speed this thing up, man. You get to the shot clock's at 18 by the time he crosses half court.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, what are we doing?
But I've always looked at Kemba more as a guy who's going to get buckets.
So he's off the ball. So it's like in your mind, when he's out there, he's kind of the two, not actually the one.
That's how I've always viewed him.
And so maybe that's how they are viewing him. And Julius Randle is their point forward.
Point forward.
I don't know.
Oh,
it's just not something he's good at, though. So
I feel bad. I don't want to turn this into the Bash Thib segment because the guy really has had a pretty damn good life.
I think Joe made a good point. I don't know what was drawn up, but it couldn't have been that. So we're either crushing Tibbs because that's what he drew up.
Yeah.
Inbound it to Julius Randle, who doesn't know he can go in the backcourt, but he gets an inbound pass. Inbound it to Julius Randle, who then dribbles six times, turns into the paint, finds his way back out once the double comes, hits R.J. Barrett, who hits or at least attempts a 26-foot three-point shot. Right, that can't have been what he drew up.
Or maybe Randle went off script.
And I think that may be what Joe was alluding to. Maybe Julius Randle, as we've been talking about, shouldn't be handling the ball at that point.
Let's get Gustavo, who was in Freehold on the Fan, Tiki and Tierney. Gustavo, what's up?
Hey, what's up, guys? Knicks. So Thibodeau is the problem with the Knicks. BT, I understand you're right. Randle, we're all tired of him. We need a point guard. We know that. But the thing is, Tibbs just has not developed the young guys. And what I mean by develop, it's just the reason we get so upset about Randle is because he's having those terrible games, six turnover games. He won't bring top in him. When Kemba's having a day where he's struggling, Quickly's not playing well. And when Quickly is playing well, he's the first one to get him out. I mean, you watched the game yesterday, and this is what really bothers me from Thibodeau, is yesterday he goes after a press conference and he's knocking Barrett for that three-point shot. In that same play, Julius Randle has Dean Wade, one of the slowest guys in the NBA, covering him, baseline open.
Yeah.
You think he could get to the baseline, get a foul. We're only down one, and he doesn't because he doesn't want to take the shot. He hands it over to Barrett with like 10 seconds left on the play clock. I mean, I know Barrett should take it to the hole, but what I'm saying is I just think that Thibodeau does not use his players well, and I get we want to make a trade and get better, but I think this team is better if we use the players the way they should be used.
Yeah, but they're still, but not much better. But Gustavo, how much better? Honestly.
Yeah.
I mean, marginally right. Better.
So here's the thing. So they should not be the 11th seed in the East. In my opinion, you know, they could be a 7, 8, a 6. But the thing is, you know, we talk about with the point guard. Kemba, you know, he's had some games where he's really feeling it. And you see him when he had those big games, he's getting minutes. Even yesterday, 48, you know, he's a street shooter, and he can't wait to get him out. He can't wait to get Burks in the game.
Yeah.
I am so tired of seeing Burks, and I get the respect for Gibson, but these guys are just – we should not be losing with these guys. If I'm going to go lose a season, I want my young guys. I want Grimes. I want Toppin. I want McBride. I don't want to see McBride in the G League scoring 44 points. I want to see him getting 15 points in the NBA. So, I think, again, I get
– you're right.
The respect for Davis, I get it. But he's just antiquated. Even the offense. I watch the games with my 14-year-old and my 8-year-old, and they're like, Dad, it's like we know the play. And it's a little like ridiculous.
Yeah.
They run the same ball screens. They get off the side. I'm tired of seeing our forwards at the top of the corner.
Yeah.
And there is Taj Gibson running a pick and roll. Taj Gibson can't make a shot.
Yeah, that's
so
right.
You got to use the guys the way your abilities. And like Katiki's point, I mean, Are we really using the guys the right way? Why is Julius Randle bringing the ball up?
No, well, we're not. We know, Gus, we know the answer to that. We're not. They're not being deployed properly. No. That's a given.
Yeah, you're right. And that's why it gets frustrating. Because it's like, we know this, then how come Tibbs doesn't know?
He has to know this because the guy knows more basketball.
I know he does.
In one finger than both of our family trees put together.
Then why is he doing it?
I don't know.
Right, that's what I can't understand.
Just a stubbornness.
But
I don't know why.
Cutting your nose off despite your face type of thing? Man, I don't know.
Listen, do you really think he wanted Kemba Walker, or was that a Leon Rose thing? Yeah. Do you think that Tom Thibodeau said, I want the guy who laterally, defensively is a fire hydrant who can't play back-to-back games? You didn't want him.
No.
You think he wanted Fournier?
No.
No, he wanted them to keep Bullock, if that's the season ender, then there's bigger problems than we imagine. Do you have the standings in front of you?
I'm looking at it right now. The crazy thing is about the
Knicks.
Who
are they really better than? Honestly. Well, go through the teams above them. Who are they better than?
They are a game. Like, literally a game.
Yeah.
Out of the eight seed.
Oh, I understand that. But the schedule's miserable coming up.
I agree. It is miserable coming up. Somehow, Atlanta, who might be having the most disappointing. I mean, we're getting on our Knicks. The Atlanta Hawks are having a worse time.
Yes, but a better roster. With a true star. Like, Trae Young is an all-star.
Yeah, I agree.
And he's going to be a 9- or a 10-time all-star.
But they're two games behind the Knicks.
I understand that.
Actually, a game behind, because they have a couple in hand. But still.
Atlanta, better.
Atlanta's behind them.
No, I know.
But I think you're right. Atlanta's better. So here's immediately in front of the Knicks. The Washington.
They have Bradley Beal. They have a true star. We don't. Yeah. Better.
But right above them is Toronto.
Toronto's better coached for sure.
Yep.
That's a given.
Yep.
Nurse is terrific.
They're at 500.
They might be better. They might be a little
Boston,
better.
Boston at the eight seed right now.
We play them well, but I think on a night-to-night basis against other teams, they've got more talent.
Yeah, I mean, it's a wash to me because I think the Knicks can beat Boston.
They can, but Jason Tatum is better than anybody on the Knicks.
Cool.
I think Boston's a little bit better.
Chicago.
Better for sure. And they're banged up now. They're better.
Yeah,
not even close.
Lonzo's not even playing, right?
Oh, Levine's banged. They are banged up.
Yeah.
Chicago's, when they're healthy, much better.
And they're five games over 500.
Who else?
Then you got Philly.
Better.
Yep. Cleveland, obviously.
Better.
Milwaukee.
Much better.
Who they're going to play next.
We won in Milwaukee early in the season. I don't know how the hell. Well, actually, they didn't have a couple of players, but
yeah.
I don't know how the hell we won.
Brooklyn.
I think we won by 30. Better.
Chicago.
Better. I mean, everybody's better.
And then Miami.
Every team you met. This is not a surprise. Listen, I think I told this story to Tiki. I'll keep it quick, but I think it really pertains to the Knicks. I think there's something you could extrapolate from this story and attach it to something that Thibs needs to change. So when I first started doing this, you know, talking into a microphone and blurbing and blabbing whatever I blabber, what I used to do after every single show, I'm talking about 20 years ago, I would go and I would listen to my show. Mm-hmm. After I got off the air, I'd sit in the bullpen and I'd listen to the show every single second, incessantly, every show, trying to get better. And my PD at the time walked up, he said, dude, you got to stop. He said, I know that you know your bleep.
Yeah.
You're freezing your mind up by trying to become too perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Stop listening to the show. And he said, just show up and do the damn show. Don't come here 2 hours to prep. Show up 5 minutes before the show and do it. And Tiki, and I did it. I swear to God. He said, it's going to free you up, right?
Yeah.
And he empowered me. And the correlation is that Tom Thibodeau is almost making guys like Toppin and these listen to the shows.
Mm-hmm.
Make them not listen. Empower them. Free them up. And I'm not saying I had any natural talent. That's not I'm not inferring that at all. But they do.
Yeah.
And they need to show it and know that if they make a mistake, they're not getting their asses yanked and going to the bench. And he makes them listen to the show.
Yeah, clearly.
Like, it's like he locks them in a room and says, listen to the show. And they're playing not in a free manner. And it's a killer. It's a killer. Teak, you're a pro athlete.
Yeah.
I'm just a regular whatever. If somebody was doing that to you all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, and I don't mean with the fumbles. That's different.
Oh, I know what you mean.
Oh, Teak, sit down. Teak, sit. Nope. Nugget, sit. Sit, 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 sit. How do you function?
I mean, in an old school way, it's motivating, but we're not in the old school anymore.
But for sure. But in addition to being motivating, could it also be paralyzing?
Oh,
will you grant me that?
Of course it can.
Okay.
Because you're thinking too much.
That's what I'm saying.
At the end of the day, you got to not think.
Yeah.
When you get to the point when you don't have to think, that's when you can become great.
Okay.
When you don't think, that's when you can. If you're thinking, you're never going to be great.
Well, I don't know what this guy was thinking when he showed up from Hofstra. He was like 13th on the wide receiver depth chart back in the day. We all know his story. Wayne Krabet one of us, local kid, Jets hero. He'll join us next on The Fan. His thoughts on Zach Wilson, the coaching staff, some of the young receivers, what they should do. We're talking Jets with Wayne Krabet next. Tiki and Tierney here on The Fan.
Call The Fan at 877-337-6666. Powered by Superbook. Better odds and favorable prices.
All right, Tiki and Tierney on The Fan. I just saw a tweet that really got me juiced up here. This is good. I mean, it's not, that doesn't mean it's going to change anything, but it just makes me feel good. And I think it'll make a lot of Don Mattingly fans feel good
as well. Go ahead.
So John Heyman tweeted this about an hour or so ago. I didn't see it until now. I guess he was on MLB Network earlier doing his hot stove thing, and he tweeted, on hot stove just now, Cal Ripken Jr., named Don Mattingly as the one player we've shortchanged the most in balloting.
Interesting.
And who should be in the Hall of Fame. Look at Cal going to bat for Donnie.
That's great.
Love it. Now, fellow Baldy.
Now will it have an impact?
You know, these things we can't control, T.
No, you're
only
right.
Certain things we can control. Wayne Krabet's going to join us in a couple of minutes here on The Fan, talk some Jets. And, you know, there are some similarities. I would probably ask this, you know, ask Wayne this right away. So when he somehow makes the team out of Hofstra, wow. And I could, I think he wore number 3 at Hofstra. Pretty sure he did. So I could still see some of that old VHS footage that I think his dad, I don't even know if he had an agent, put together and sent out, I would imagine, to every team, but certainly to the Jets. And I think the Jets were like, all right, local kid, went to Hofstra, we'll get a day, we'll get an article in the Post and Newsday, and then it'll be cut. And then he's sticking around. He's catching everything his way, you know, throwing his head in there, blocking. They're like, this guy's a baller, and Kotite eventually keeps him.
Yeah, I don't know if NFL teams do that as much anymore, because we had a guy like that who ended up being a really good player in David Patton, who unfortunately passed away last year in a motorcycle accident.
I think it was less than a year.
Maybe it was less than a year. It was unfortunate. He was just a great, God-fearing, awesome guy. But he was just little. He's little like Wayne Krabet, but he was like a muscled, like he was muscled. And he just, you could see him work his butt off. But he played for the Albany Indoor Arena Football League team, I think.
Okay.
And so because we were training in Albany, he gets a tryout. He
throw him a bone.
He makes little injuries here or there with a couple of guys. He ends up making the team. And, you know, he sticks around for 3 years. Then he leaves and goes to the New England Patriots, where he wins 2 Super Bowls. And in fact, that Brady's first Super Bowl, he caught the only touchdown pass in the Super Bowl and in the championship game. So they only scored 2 touchdowns those last 2 weeks, and David Patton scored both of them. So it used to happen. You'd see guys like that, like Wayne Krabet, like David Patton, who had no business being on an NFL team, make an NFL team, and actually have a pretty good career.
I mean, Wayne Krabet was just Mr. Third Down.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And
sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Mm-hmm. And there's some similarities here as well. So he, you know, he makes the team in 95 with Kotite, and they go 3-13. We all know what happened the next year. They were just horrendous. We signed, you know, Neil O'Donnell, you know, some other veteran retreads. They just 1-15. It was rough. But there was talent on that team. Anybody who watched that team, you know, like Adrian Morrell, some of these players could play.
Yeah.
It's about Marvin Jones, Aaron Glenn is on that team, and Parcells comes in. And in 97, they go 9-7. The first game, week one, out in Seattle at the Kingdome, we thump them 41-3. Krebet has 2 touchdowns. And then the next year, of course, 12-4 AFC Championship game. And I'm really curious to ask Wayne, like, when you try to, and I know you can weigh in on this as well, but when you try to eradicate a losing culture,
yeah,
what is the first step from a coach? Like, what did Parcells say?
Yeah.
What did he do? How do you even tackle that?
So the Giants had a little bit of
Casales got the same job. Yeah. That's my point.
Yeah. I don't remember what the Giants were, because I wasn't a Giants fan growing up. I don't remember what the Giants were before I got there in 1997. I know that they had a couple of tough years, but the head coach was good, Dan Reeves. And so it wasn't like a losing culture. Coach Fossil came in, and we were good right away. I think we made the playoffs that year. That was the caller yesterday. We talked about the Minnesota Vikings loss, which was just gross. But I remember at the end of the Fossil era, it felt like a lot of apathy, right? And then just like there was no direction. You know what I mean? And when Coach Coughlin came in, the first thing that he preached was just discipline, like little things. And I joke about this all the time, but it's real. Like he was legitimately telling us how to put our socks on so we didn't get blisters, and how to tape your ankles, mm-hmm. and like these, like the things that you don't even think about because you've been doing it forever. But it would make it ultimately made a difference, I think, in people's minds. You cared about the little things. And, you know, I think that's how you start. You get guys doing the little things right, and then ultimately, you know, you're able to stack on top of that, and the program turns.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's with us, and I think deep down we're all hoping for another Wayne Krebet to burst on the scene. You know, he was a hero. I mean, you know, that's when I had season tickets for a couple of those years anyway, and when he made a play and moved the sticks, I mean, the roar from the crowd was unbelievable. Wayne, Tiki, and Tierney, welcome to The Fan, our show for the first time. I know you've been on before in the past, but welcome to Tiki and Tierney. How you doing, buddy?
Great. You know, thanks for having me. Appreciate always going on your show.
Yeah, man. Yeah, it's an honor to have you on. And Tiki and I were just talking about, take us back, obviously, a million years ago. We know your story. You scrap from the bottom of the pile, each practice seemingly. You work your way up a slot on the depth chart. Kotite saw something in you, a scrapper, a tough kid with great hands. But you go 3-13, you go 1-15 the next year, and then Parcells comes in. And there's some correlation to now, where the Jets are trying to get rid of this losing environment, this losing stench. What was Parcells' first, like, the first message to you guys? Do you remember it? What did he say, and what did it feel like to you guys?
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, we're not the same old Jets kind of thing, you know. And like you said, I was 3-13 my first season with Kotite. And my my friends are busting my chops saying, "You guys are terrible." I said, "Listen, it can't get any worse." And then we went 1-15. And I was like, this is how it's going to be. And then when Bill came in, I was like, all right, all right, this is how it's going to be. This is what I want. And he just came in, like he said, we're not the same team. We don't have the same players. And he's just the kind of guy you want to run through a brick wall for.
Yeah. You know, and ultimately, Wayne, I think that kind of personality is necessary. Someone who is motivating. Other guys have done it in different ways. But, you know, when you look at Rob Saleh, who's now the head coach of the Jets, and the challenge that he has coming off the Adam Gase era, does he feel like that kind of guy to you? Like the players are going to want to run through walls for him?
Yeah. He reminds me of Coach Herm Edwards. He's a different kind of coach than Parcells was. You know, he treated the vets differently. And, you know, Tiki, when you have a coach that's been there before,
yeah,
you know, blood, sweat, and tears of training camp and the long season, you believe it more that he's been there. And just the message he had, he's very religious, but didn't push it on you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, out there 6 a.m. running on the field and just like Sal runs the bleachers.
Yes, I know. Rex wasn't doing any running, though, was he? Except running his mouth, right, Wayne?
I don't know him, but, you know, I see little, you know, things on in social media about him.
And, yeah.
You know, he's very opinionated, but can't say anything because I don't know the guy.
Well, that's what they're paying him for. And listen, when Rex was coaching us, we loved him. It got a little slipper at the end there, but it is what it is. So we're talking to Wayne Krabet. Wayne, when you played with a couple of different quarterbacks. I know you and Vinny had great rapport. Obviously, Chad, Ray Lucas. I'm sure I'm missing a few, obviously. But when you watch Zach Wilson, especially going out there many weeks without anything that really, no disrespect, that resembled a frontline starting receiving core and a little bit of a patchwork O-line. What did you take away from Zach Wilson's first year with the Jets?
It was tough beginning. You know, in the first couple of games, I mean, he was running for his life back there. He snapped the ball and immediately he was rolling out. But then he got injured and, you know, Mike White came in. He came back and he was different kind of confidence. And I think LaFleur started calling a different game for him, you know, a little more drop-offs, you know, higher percentage completions. So hopefully improves. They got a lot of young guys, and hopefully next year, you know, he takes that next step, kind of how Joe Burrow did.
Yeah.
So that would be nice.
Yeah, I mean,
I'll take 80% of that, Wayne.
Wayne, you're wearing a Mets cap on the Zoom. I mean, optimism for the Mets this year as well. You're a Jersey guy. I don't know how are you a Mets fan.
He's always been a Mets guy.
Is that a Hofstra thing? Did that happen when you went out the Hofstra? Were you always a Mets fan?
Honestly, I was always a Yankee fan. Still am. But when Willie Randolph went to coach the Mets, and the way I felt about him, he's a friend. I just started rooting for them a little more. You know, I like those. I came for my Jets hat. You know, you got to go on in 2 minutes. I'm like, all right, Mets hat it is. I don't want to show my receding hairline, so I throw on a Mets hat.
Wait, hold on a second. Now, I mean, this is coming from a spot of love here, but I've got a fundamental issue with this. Now, not that you're wearing the Mets cap, but, I mean, come on, dude. I mean, there are certain things that we can wear and we can rotate.
Wayne, he gets on me about this all the time.
Well, because it is what it is. Nobody's rocking a Jet and a Giant sweatshirt. And, Wayne, nobody should be rocking a Met and a Yankee hat. You got to pick one, dude. Get that hat off, dude. What are you doing?
It matches my sweatshirt.
What is it? Let me put a Nick hat if you like the colors. Put on a Nick hat.
Yeah, the other quarterbacks, Neil O'Donnell, Frank Reich, Quincy Carter. There's a lot
Quincy
of them.
Quincy Carter, jeez. Yeah. Brooks Bollinger was there.
Bubby Brister. We got Bubby Brister in there, God. Too.
Yeah. You know, it's you bring up those names, Wayne, and, you know, sometimes there's a name that doesn't feel like it's going to make it, and ultimately they do. Can you identify a difference? Like, what is it? Like, is it the coordinator? Is it that this player has? What's been the difference between the guys that make it and those that just kind of become, you know, footnotes, especially when they're on bad teams?
Yeah, you have to have that factor, you know, that confidence, the swagger, but not cockiness.
Yeah.
But it's opportunity when you get playing time. Looks like Bracken Berrios. I know people are throwing in comparison.
Mm-hmm.
This guy got hurt. This guy got COVID. This guy's dropping passes. And that's, you know, that's what happens. That's how you get your chance. And he took advantage of it. Same thing with me.
Yeah.
He's so good. They got to get that deal done. I think we all think they will. So we're talking to Wayne Chrebet, number 80, local kid, Garfield, Mets and Yankees fan, I guess we've just learned. So, Wayne, let me ask you this. I do think that, and this is just laziness, and this is what it is, like stereotyping certain body types. And, you know, it happens, unfortunately. It doesn't happen as much anymore, thankfully. But, you know, back in the day, the black quarterback was stereotyped a certain way. I still think to an extent the white wide receiver is stereotyped a certain way. You know, oh, Wayne Chrebet, the little guy. First of all, I mean, I know that you're short, but and smallish in that regard, but your dad pumped iron. You were tough as nails. You loved to block. I always thought you were a little disrespected in that sense. But explain this to me, Wayne. How can somebody who was around 5'10", 180, do what you did every Sunday, and Denzel Mims, who is 6'3", 220, runs a 4.35 40, can't even get on the field, Wayne? What is the story?
I don't know. I don't know the kid. You know, when they drop back and didn't take him in the draft, I said, oh, that missed opportunity. Then they end up getting him anyway. I was like, this kid's, you know, great on 50-50 balls. But I know he got sick before training camp. And sometimes the college game doesn't translate to the pro game.
Yep.
And that's kind of how it is. But like I said, given the opportunity like Braxton did and some other guys did on defense, I think it's just a matter of time, and they have to make a point of getting him involved.
They have to. I'm totally with you. And, you know, back to Berrios, do you think he can be, you know, a modern you, even though I think the skill set's a little different, or like an 80, a high-volume reception kind of player on a good offense? Does he have that kind of a ceiling?
Yeah. I mean, he's quick. Obviously, when you talk about white receivers, we're called possession receivers.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, yeah.
But or slot receivers, but like, you know, me, Amendola, Edelman,
yeah,
you know, Welker. Was Cole Beasley.
Yep.
Just we run a different kind of route.
Yeah. You created the genre, Wayne. I mean, you created it. Seriously, you were one of the first.
He was. Largent too. Well, Steve Largent was great.
Ah, that's true. That's a good point.
Do you guys have a little Scotch club where you get together with the white wide receivers and complain about how you guys are disrespected?
2 second story. I went out to eat with Edelman and Amendola. Don't tell me that had to happen. And a friend. And they said they called me the godfather of slot. And it's still funny. They like, we don't call you Wayne. We call you the godfather. I was like, I was humbled. It was funny. I'm a fan of those guys. Obviously, I hate the Patriots.
Yeah.
But
they call me the godfather. It's hysterical.
What a nickname that awesome, is. That's though. Money
I think,
right there.
I think Cooper Kupp is doing a lot to break the reputation of white wide receivers. He's a baller, man. He's unbelievable.
He does things I couldn't do, you know, as far as down the field more. So he's special, and that's why he's broken every record this year.
No, you're right. And, I mean, he should be in the conversation for MVP, but wide receivers don't win that award. Tell us about this BG Entertainment Catch the Moment Ultimate Fan Experience that you have going on. This is pretty cool. January 30th, it's at the 14 Cottage Street, Middletown, New York. Doors open at 3. What are you guys going to be doing? Because there's a bunch of you guys. Mario Manningham is on this as well.
Lavernius
Coles. What's this about, Wayne?
Yeah, I do a lot of stuff for BG Entertainment. And I brought Lavernius in. So it's a competition between us and the two Giants, Manningham and Tyree.
Yeah.
So this QB bowl, you bowl with footballs, there's axe throwing, there's cornhole.
Wait, so you bowl with a football?
Yeah, we do. Yeah, exactly. It's a new thing. It's outstanding. But think about we're doing axe throwing with the two Giant guys. I don't know if some of those axes go astray or how that's going to go.
That sounds dangerous, man.
You guys drinking while you're doing this?
I see hard seltzer.
Alcohol, axe drawing, and two Giants and two Jets. I'm not sure what's going to happen. Tiki knows how the rivalry is between Jets and players.
Yeah.
And speaking of the rivalry, it's a rivalry, but it's different than Yankees-Mets. I feel like it's a little less personal. But I don't know. Maybe this was just me being wrapped up in my fandom. Let's face it. You know, the Giants have Super Bowls. It is what it is. But, man, that 98 season, Wayne, I know we always go back to this. You guys win the division, 12-4. I feel like it was Dedrick Ward who hauled in that big touchdown to wrap it up against the Bills. I feel like that's somewhere in my memory bank. You guys go out to Denver. I think you should have won the game. I felt like that was... I feel like the Jets, that was a Jets town for a couple of years.
Yeah.
You know, you were a local guy, Vinny local guy, Parcells. Did it feel like a Jets town?
Yeah. I mean, it's been a Giant town, you know, most of my life. I grew up a diehard Giant fan, which people know, but I was a Jet fan too. I think that's allowed to be AFC NFC, but we were built to win the championship that year. So we got a little, you know, more back, you know, back page and some front page headlines. And that was our year, you know, that was our window with Parcells. But, you know, mostly it's been a Giants town. You know, the stadium was named after him. But,
hey, did that bother you, Wayne? Did it bother you?
Hopefully we get back to the Jets.
Hey, did that bother you, Wayne, the Giants stadium? Because I know some Jets had bothered.
It bothered me. Tailgating, staring at it.
Nah, I mean, I grew up going there. Like,
yeah, that's true.
It's on Route 17 for, like, Rose Triple Z with my dad. The Cardinals, you know, no Cowboy games we can go to. It's too expensive.
Yeah, that's right.
And let's face it, when you start 11th on the depth chart, you'll play in any stadium.
That's right. That's
right? When they're paying you? I hear you, man. So you got Lavernia showing up to this thing, this battle with the Giants and Tyree and Manningham. Are you going to call Keyshawn? Maybe Keyshawn come down and help you out, Wayne, or no?
Meet him in Axtron. I don't know. I don't mind the guy, man.
Is that true?
I actually listened to the guy on the radio. So, you know, the issues aren't there that people think. If I saw him, I'd say hello. You know, how you doing? So I have no issues with
well,
that.
Well,
is there still beef? Is it lingering?
Cool.
Like from his standpoint?
No, when we played, the two of us, we were one of the best duos there was. I mean, yeah. Statistically, and we blocked for each other. We cleared out, you know, zones for each other. So, you know, when we were on the field, it was great. We mm-hmm. just... There's a lot written about us, made for great great radio, great newspapers.
Oh, yeah.
So I got nothing but, you know, exposure from it. So how can I
That's right.
I remember when the trade went down, when he got traded to Tampa. Because buddy Jay Glazer, he's actually sleeping on my couch when he was doing this. Jay Glazer said, you know, Keyshawn's going down to Tampa. I was like, there's no way that's happening. And he actually did. He broke the news.
And you know what? When they played the Jets, that first of all, it was a halfback option. Curtis Martin threw a touchdown to Wayne. And it was because Keyshawn was dissing Wayne. Yeah. I think he called you a flashlight or whatever it was, whatever he said derogatorily toward you. And I like Keyshawn as a Jet too.
Yeah.
But when they played the Jets as first game as a Buck, Wayne, I don't know if you remember, Keyshawn had one catch for one yard.
Nice.
That was the stat line, and I loved every second of it. I loved it because I thought he listen, and I like him, but I really thought that he disrespected you. Let me ask you this, Wayne: what was the origin? And then we'll stuff this out once and for all. I know you guys are fine now, and you were a very good duo.
Yeah.
But how did this start?
I don't know. It just there. Listen, people were trying to figure something out that he said. Comparing me was like comparing a flashlight to a star. That's fine. Again, he gave me national exposure for this.
Yeah. He did.
But
he
then
did.
The game came down to it, you know, and I scored a winning touchdown. It's kind of like poetic justice, but sometimes that happens to you. Yeah. But you know, it is. Al Gore put flashlights in everybody's locker and said, all of us are brighter than the star. And I appreciate the, you know, the guys backing me up.
That's dope, man.
That is good.
that's cool. Yeah. I love
obviously
that.
Went on the worst pass I've ever caught in my life. You know, complete duck, but
from the halfback, yeah, from Curtis.
But they took a huge hit, thrown it, and we won the game. And like I said, it was a great feeling.
Oh, yeah, man.
That's awesome. All right, you can find this event. It's actually this weekend, January 30th, at bgautographs.com, or you can call the number 845-863-5242. Again, this is up in Middletown, New York. It's Wayne, Lavernius Coles, David Tyree, and Mario Manningham. Bowling with some hard seltzer I see on this thing as well. Bowling with footballs and axe throwing. That's going to be fun, Wayne. Appreciate you, my friend.
All right. Thanks for having me, guys.
You got good, it. Anytime, number 80. You always got a spot here if you want. Thank you very much, Wayne. I miss watching him play.
Wayne was the best.
He's my favorite Jet of all time. My absolute all-time favorite Jet. 877-337-6666. But think about that. Could you, like, the indignity...
I didn't know that about
look up the box score.
No, the flashlights.
Yeah, I knew that story. But think, back me up on this. Look at the box score from that. That would have been, 2000 was Al Groh, and then he skipped out and went back to Virginia.
Went to Virginia.
He left us after. We started 4-0 that year, or 5-0. We started undefeated. But, you know, Keyshawn, because Wayne, blue collar, humble. Keyshawn, 6'3", first overall pick, USC. You hear him on the radio, on TV, brash. Good on, you know, he's good at his job.
Yeah, he is.
But he was dissing our boy a little bit. And we rallied around him. And we love when number 19 made plays as well. But when number 80 did something, it was like, This probably sounds corny, but from a non-athlete like me, you can't relate to this because you're a thoroughbred, but from a non-athlete like me, it was like we were, and us, it was like we were doing it on the field with Wayne. How the hell he made the NFL is still beyond me.
Yeah.
The guy wasn't even invited to camp. He had to beg. Insane. And Keyshawn had 1 yard.
Jets started that season 4-0.
Yeah, 4-0.
Yep, 18-yard pass, Wayne Corbett from Curtis Martin.
And I think it was really a wet, sloppy game. Go to the box score.
John Hall kicked the extra point.
I like John Hall.
Outdoors, grass, weather, 82 degrees, relative humidity. It didn't rain.
I think it was a little. I think they all had mud on their units. Guess not,
though. Yeah, but I mean, it rains every day down there.
Yep, and what was Keyshawn's style? I think it was one catch for 1 yard.
Yep, Keyshawn Johnson on the day. Because Sean King was the starting quarterback.
Our buddy, who we know real well. We know Sean.
For the Bucs at that time.
Yeah.
I mean, Sean King only threw for 135 yards. Wayne Corbett had 1 reception, 5 targets, 1 yard.
You mean Keyshawn?
I mean, Keyshawn, yeah. Wayne Corbett had 7 targets, 2 receptions for 32 yards and a touchdown.
But the game-winning touchdown. Yeah, Keyshawn, I was right. 1 reception, 1 yard.
Yep.
Wow. 877-337-6666. Tiki and Tierney on the Fan up until 2. And then it's Carton and Roberts. We'll get some more calls coming up in a sec. Connecticut. That's how I'd say it as a kid. That's not a silent C.
Connecticut.
Well, I never said Connecticut. I said Connecticut.
Who used to say that?
I don't know.
Broadcaster on CBS.
Tony Romo?
No, weatherman on CBS.
Mr. G? Was he Lloyd Lindsey Young? Remember, Dove, you have to remember. Hello, whatever. That guy was out of his mind. That guy did like 9 lines of coke. Oh, we got to do the weather? Guy was crazy, man. But I liked him. I remember watching him. Like when I had one of these glorious sick days when I feigned illness and my mom bought it and I could stay home and not go to school, I would watch like...
I could never get away with that, Bob.
No, of course. You didn't want to. You were a nerd. You wanted to go to school.
That's right. I did.
He had his little bow tie on.
I did. Not I a bow tie, actually.
Well, you know what I mean.
I did have my notebook and protractor.
Your Apscot? What is that called? The Tapscot? What is that thing like?
Ascot.
That it is. And Tapscot was the
horrible. Could have afforded one back then? I would have.
You would have with the pipe and the slippers. Mommy, I'm ready to go to school. You and Rondé. But when I would do that, and I would say, and I remember it was so awesome because I would watch The Price is Right. I would watch... All in the Family. Mm-hmm. I watched Gilligan's Island and Woody Woodpecker. I mean, when I was real little.
Yeah, yeah.
And I remember always watching the weather. And Lloyd Lindsey Young, who was a maniac, was doing his thing on Channel 9. The Channel 2, I think it may have been Mr. G. Am I right? Dove, I think it was.
I don't remember.
Very distinguished look, Mr. G.
No, it wasn't him.
No, it wasn't him.
It wasn't him. Hmm. Say Connecticut.
No, I can't remember. Did he really?
Yeah.
Connecticut?
It was on purpose. He didn't know. It was a stick. But I can't remember who it was.
That's probably a shtick that's not worthy of continuing. Let's go up to Connecticut.
You'll remember his name when I say it. I'll figure it out.
I got you. By the way, tomorrow, the Giants, this is much appreciated. I've given us permission to air the Joe Shane press conference.
Yes.
So that'll be awesome during our show. And even more awesome, you and I will have Joe Shane on our show either directly after the press conference or Thursday here on The Fan. Much appreciated. And let's face it, really our first big interview here on the show.
Yeah, it'd be
fun. Gotta get some answers, Teak.
I know it. His first big interview in New York, too.
Well, I mean, but I'm more worried about us.
Yeah,
I hope Joe does well.
Important for him, too.
You know, I'm more concerned with us, you know? So, Joe, what are you going to do with Daniel Jones? So, Joe, what are you going to do with Saquon Barkley?
Who's
so,
head
Joe,
coach?
Who are you going to hire?
Who's head coach? That's all I care about.
Look forward to getting to know him. It's a great hire, at least, you know, can't grade it without the full results here, but at least early on, we like it. We're certainly rooting for Joe and looking forward to having a chat, getting to know him a little bit. All right, let's get the update. We've got Andrew Bogish on top of that. Then we'll come back. A thawing in the division in labor strife with baseball. We'll hit that. We'll get back to the phones as well. But first, Bogus telling you what's what.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.